My job here in Canada is actually to work with yourselves as educators, to work with students, developers, whether they're professional developers or hobbyists, doesn't matter, to really understand where you can use cloud in your environment. So all my contact information is there. You have email, Twitter, LinkedIn, my blog, entirely up to you, whichever one you want to use. But by all means, let's connect and let's bring cloud into Canada, especially into the classrooms, where for me, one of the reasons when that when student sorry, when Susan had said that she was doing this summit, I said, yeah, you know what? For sure, we need to have this conversation in there because it's actually fundamentally important to bring the cloud into the classroom. And for none other than companies are actually learning that cloud is, in fact, the way to go. And a lot of them are saying, you know, you might hear on the street, yeah, you know, cloud is coming, or, you know, we'll eventually get there, so we should probably teach our students. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that the cloud isn't actually here. You know, is it as prevalent in every single conversation? No, but it's actually going to get there. But more importantly, it's actually maturing a lot faster than, you know, most would have anticipated that it in fact is going to do. So why is this all relevant to cloud in the classroom? And that really comes down to a couple of very important points that companies are looking for talented people. And they're looking for talented people in all different directions. They're looking for them in the workplace, in the current workplace. They're looking for them you know, out on the street for people who maybe are just entering the workforce. But they're also looking at it for bringing talented students into the mix as well, because obviously there's a recognition, as you all know, that students are in fact just because of the value and the quality of the education that you're bringing to them when they're still students. A lot of the students actually know stuff before they come out to the job market, so companies are in fact looking there as well. Where things change a little bit or become a little bit more interesting is that companies are starting to expect things, and they expect, let's just say, a certain level of knowledge today, but that's only going to continue to increase in the future. And even though they may be expecting knowledge today, what you're going to see in the next 3 to 5 years is that they're actually going to expect experience. So not just the knowledge, not just the, you know, what is the cloud, you know, how do you use the cloud, but actually how do you fundamentally bring it into applications, and how do you fundamentally bring it into organizations? And more importantly, on top of that, how do you innovate using the cloud? So all of that's to say that, and one of the reasons why we called this session is Student Thought Leaders Who Know the Cloud, is that if we work together, Microsoft and you guys as educators, we work together starting today effectively, and we start educating students now, we can actually make sure that they get all the knowledge they need in the classroom. And then if they're doing co-op terms, or if they're doing you know, work sessions in the summer or whatever, they can take what they're learning in the classroom and then apply it to actually get that on-the-job experience that, again, when they graduate, those companies are going to look for. Now, when we look at it from what's actually in the classroom, and when we talk about it from a knowledge perspective, I know a lot of the colleges and universities that I'm working with right now are sort of just thinking about adding it into the curriculum, and how they would get their mind around putting it into the curriculum. And a lot of times it comes in as maybe a fourth year course or workshop, a second year, or sorry, a third year. But what I want to challenge you with is to think about, can we actually get cloud in earlier? And when I say earlier, I mean, can we do it first year? Can we do it second year? The reason for that, the more experience they have, or the more exposure they have to the cloud throughout their college or university lives, the more they're actually going to use it to actually implement it into their, even into their schoolwork solutions. And just to give you an example of that, I do work with a college here in Ontario, where what we've done is we've actually taken a portion of the curriculum, and it's a web development course. And what we've done is we've said, you know what, before it was, we're going to deploy to the school's infrastructure. It was, like I said, a web development course. So IIS and a SQL Server backend, and we'll deploy that into the school's infrastructure in order to show them how do you actually deploy applications, how do you deploy web applications, how do you connect them to databases. And one of the issues that we ran into was school's infrastructure is limited, or more importantly, it's hard to provision every time students need to get access to that. So of course, that's a perfect example of where you can use cloud not only for the academic institution's use, but more importantly, you're taking that opportunity to have the students exposed to what it would be like to actually build applications, deploy them to the cloud, and when it actually makes sense to do that. Is that stuff that they can read? Yeah. Can you get this stuff from textbooks or, you know, reading online content, whatever? Absolutely. But what I find as I go around and I talk about cloud with various individuals throughout Canada is that actually talking about it doesn't quite do it. And what you actually end up needing to do is giving them that hands-on experience, that hands-on time with the platform to really hammer home when you actually use it and when it actually makes sense to do that. So all of that is to say, let's make sure that we get that we work together to make cloud as part of the curriculum from as early as possible. And of course, you guys as the educators would know when as early as possible actually is. But when it's relevant, rather than as an afterthought or when it comes to actually just deploying. Because I can honestly tell you, when it actually comes to just deploying, are you going to use some of the benefits of the cloud in that you're not going to have your on-premises infrastructure? Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to actually be teaching the students what the nature of cloud is and why they would want to use it for their applications, and then further, why they would actually want to offer it up as platforms when they're working at employers, so on and so forth? That's when you actually need them to go in and try it. They know it, they see it, and they work with it. And the longer they work with it, the more comfortable they are, so that by the time they graduate, and that's why I have there on the screen for you, students entering into the workforce, it won't be a nice to have in, I would probably say, 3 years or so. It's not going to be a nice to have. It's actually going to be a given or a requirement. Right now, students that come out of school and they know stuff about cloud and they can use it, that's probably enough of a differentiator in order to kind of make them stand out over others when they're looking for employment opportunities. Having said that, again, the next 3 to 5 years, that edge isn't going to be there. Similar to what Paul was talking about from the different apps. How do you make your app different? In this case, we're talking about how do we make your students different? And that's actually giving them that knowledge up front, both from a development perspective and also from an architecture perspective, but also giving them as much as possible that experience in the classroom and on their work terms. So how do we actually grow thought leaders? And this is something that I actually want you to really think about, because it's not, you know, it's something that you have to, it's not something that you can just read. It's not something that you as an educator can take a package and then kind of just implement it in your classroom. It's actually something that you as an educator think about. You know what, I could make a student a skilled developer, but how do I make them an actual thought leader? And to be a thought leader, that means you're doing something innovative. You're using things in a different way, bringing value to something that potentially may not have had value before. And that's what you're looking to do. And honestly, as an educator, that's probably the best value that you have to these students, in that take that next step. Take the 4 years that they're with you, or the 5 years that they're with you, or the 3 years even, and show them the way in terms of what the industry is looking for, in terms of how people are using it. Use case studies. Get them to think, but more importantly, get them to push the envelope of what the cloud platform could do. And you saw me on the slide before, I said it's maturing fast. It's maturing fast because people are using it, right? And people are using it to ways that weren't necessarily thought of before, which then of course leads to subsequent versions, so on and so forth. Give you an example, with Windows Azure, there's a release schedule of twice a year, and twice a year, brand new features that, you know, people may have been hacking before that now are actually implemented into the platform. So what you want to do is to get your students thinking, hey, as you're innovating, as you're building Windows Phone apps, or as you're building Windows 8 apps, how can you use the cloud in different and innovative ways in order to stretch what it can do? And a academic institution, a school, a college lab, or college incubators is the perfect place to do something like that. So where does it all start? It starts in the classroom, which is what I meant. It starts with you guys. And in order to do that, what do you have available in order to make that happen? So the first thing that you have available is actually curriculum resources. You actually have resources that are part of the Microsoft faculty. Sorry, I'm actually just getting over a cold. But you have resources that are part of the Microsoft faculty connection and resources that are available for you to actually download and to use actual courseware, actual code, actual labs that you can implement right into your existing curriculum, or potentially even design a brand new curriculum around it. The other part that I challenge you with is to say, you know what, learning Windows Azure or learning the cloud on its own, yeah, definitely you have to start from there. But where do you get additional value, or where do you grow those thought leaders again? You grow those thought leaders by introducing them to the peripheral technologies that Windows Azure connects with. And that's Windows Phone, Windows 8, iOS applications, iPad applications, Android applications. Really anything that has an internet connection can actually integrate with Windows Azure. So when you're thinking about this, don't think cloud computing is for websites. So let me put it into a web course. Think about it as cloud computing can actually be, or Windows Azure can actually be the back end to all the applications that I'm building at the college or the university, or rather that the students are building, that actually connects out to the internet. So if you're building tablet applications, you're building mobile applications, you're building web applications, desktop applications, doesn't matter. The idea is, more often than not, those need a backend. And so that's where it's very interesting to either take pieces of the cloud computing curriculum that is available to you at the faculty connection, take pieces of it and weave it into other courses, or have it on its own. So that's resource number one for you. Resource number two for you is the Faculty Connection Resource Kit. And again, this is available to you on the Faculty Connection website. And this is basically a kit where you basically choose your own adventure. You see on there, you can choose from cloud computing, you can choose from fundamentals. And the fundamentals, by the way, are resources more for you than they are for the students to use as part of the courses. So make sure you go in and you check that out. Probably very good for you to bring yourself up to speed. There's also the Cloud Futures videos, and the Cloud Futures videos are actually videos that were done for other academics, other educators that are using the platform and how they're doing it, or what they're doing on the platform. Very interesting ways to sort of look at what your peers are doing, and then maybe take some of those ideas, bring them into your classroom, and then expand on them and see what you could do with them. The other interesting things that you can actually also take a look at. Now, interestingly enough, this is not on the Faculty Connection website per se. There's a link off to it. This is actually, you can get the Windows Azure Training Kit right off of the WindowsAzure.com website. I do have the link for you at the bottom there. The reason why I highlight this one, this is actually when I go out and I do developer conferences and I do developer workshops, a lot of the content that we as Microsoft use for our events and our training activities is actually coming from the Windows Azure Training Kit. Part of the power of that is that you're actually exposing the students to something that is not specifically created for an academic program. You're exposing them to what, let's say, the type of training that they would get outside of the classroom Which, interestingly enough, I know when I was going through university and college, I didn't have that option available to me. I actually felt that when I had left, a lot of what I was taught felt like it was very academic, felt like I couldn't practically use it in the real life, if you will. The thing that I really like about using the Windows Azure Training Kit as part of an academic program is actually that you're giving them the real world knowledge and real world implementations right in the classroom. So the students actually get the best of both worlds. Now, for you as educators, the nice thing about the Windows Azure Training Kit is that you actually get not only the content that we use, PowerPoint presentations, so on and so forth, and actually, interestingly enough, with the new one that was released just yesterday for all the new features of Windows Azure, there's 42 different lab modules in there, and presentation content, roughly around 50 hours of instruction. So in theory, you could actually make an entire course just out of that. Nice part is that you have the content, but on top of that, you also have demos that you as the educators in the classroom can use in order to sort of demonstrate the content and also hammer the message home. And then in your lab sections, rather than again having to come up with various different scenarios for the students to do, you can actually use the hands-on labs that are included in the training kit. Roughly, each one takes about 40, anywhere between 45 minutes. There are some that are 75 minutes, some are 90 minutes. And so the nice thing is that you can build those into your curriculum as well, and then basically choose whether you do the 45-minute labs or maybe you do some portions of the longer labs. And then you can also choose on how you want to actually mark those or grade those towards the students' marks. I know some of the professors that I've worked with were basically let you know, take one of the intro labs. You did the lab, you deployed it, you submitted a screenshot of what you deployed, and there you go. Your lab is done. You got a passing grade for that lab. Some of the more complicated labs, you can, you know, you could choose, is basically what I'm getting at. But rather than having to worry about actually building demos and hands-on lab content yourself, you have all of that included in the training kit for you so that you're not worrying about it. And in order to get Azure into the classroom, Microsoft actually does, in fact, give you grants as educators for giving the students an intro into the platform. And by intro, I do mean you know, resources that they can consume of the platform for free with no credit card. I'm not sure if you know, but if you were to go and sign up on your own on the WindowsAzure.com website, for example, you actually, in order to get a 90-day trial, so 3 months worth, you actually have to put in a credit card. Now, of course, knowing that some students won't have credit cards or maybe are not comfortable with using a credit card. And by the way, the credit card usage is really only for legal reasons in the unlikely event that a student would improperly use the platform or illegally use the platform. But either way, there is a certain discomfort in using the credit cards. So what the educator grant allows you to do is you actually fill out a relatively simple form, basically stating how you want to use Windows Azure in the classroom, what you want to use it for, and then what you actually get as an educator is you actually get a Windows Azure Academic Pass for each student, and then that gives them 5 months worth of Azure resources that they can consume for the classwork or for their homework or labs, so on and so forth. Good for 5 months from the day that you activate it. And after those 5 months, when it expires, and then they no longer have access to that. But as long as they do, they use the platform just as well as anybody using a trial or if they have MSDN, same thing. So full access to the platform minus the credit card, but it is limited to the 5 months. More importantly, unfortunately, because we're trying to get a lot of people onto the platform, and I mean that part is not unfortunate, but in doing that, that also means that there's going to be a lot of people coming on board. So in order to sort of make sure that everything is controlled, there is a limit to the number of passes that you can request. So depending on how you set it up, maybe you want to set up groups. So for example, if you're doing things in groups or teams, students are working together on a specific project, then they can actually use one academic pass in order to get them access to the platform. They'll deploy it once. Each one of them can try out different parts of the platform, but the idea is they'll share a login into the platform. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just, you know, it makes sure that there's everybody is able to get passes worldwide. From a recommendations perspective on how to use those passes or how to use the courseware, and actually more importantly, how to use us as resources for you at Microsoft Canada, this is sort of what I've seen work well. And I've done this with, like I said, a couple of colleges here in Ontario. And if you're interested, by all means, my email address was there at the beginning and certainly will be at the end as well. Give me a shout. You know, send me what you're looking to do, or maybe just say, hey, I'm interested, and I can actually help you formulate that into your actual curriculum. But what I've seen actually work well is some colleges and universities have opted to go for the dedicated course. And by dedicated course, that means it's an actual full course where you're just talking about Windows Azure and Windows Azure as it relates to the peripheral technologies, Windows 8, Windows Phone, iOS, whatever you'd like. But the main focus is on cloud computing, Windows Azure, and how you use Windows Azure to build out solutions. So that works quite well. The flip side of that, and obviously realizing that maybe the academic institution where you're at maybe is not ready yet for a dedicated course, there's also the ability to weave in additional content into your existing courses. And that might mean maybe a 3 to 4 week segment of where you're actually just talking about the introduction to cloud computing and the introduction to Windows Azure as part of, like I mentioned earlier, a web course, or better yet, a part of a mobile course. And again, mobile doesn't necessarily mean Windows Phone because it's a Microsoft product, but it's Windows Phone, Android courses, iOS courses, and really any other languages. If you have BlackBerry courses, that works as well. You know, you can weave it into those as a an add-on, and then maybe even work it in as part of final projects to have you know, their applications deployed to Windows Azure. And let's say they're doing mobile apps, then they can connect those applications into their cloud backend, and all of a sudden you've now exposed them to building full solutions of both backend and front end. Right? So think about it from that perspective, various different ways to weave it in. Other way that you could do it is a one-time, what I call a workshop, and that's basically 3 to 4 hours worth of both content and lab. But you have to keep in mind with this one, it's more of a tour. So it's more of a, hey, let's talk about cloud computing at a high level. Let's talk about Windows Azure and how it implements the cloud computing principles. And then it's more of, you know, these are the different parts of the platform. Here you go, go do some introductory labs and code, so that you can see how it works, but it doesn't really go towards giving them that in-depth knowledge that they would need to go build out full solutions. It sort of gives them the idea, hey, this exists, you know, and it's emerging technologies, you should look into it, but then you're sort of leaving it with the student in order to continue to investigate whether they're actually interested in it or whether they actually use it as part of their courseware. Up to you, both options work well. Obviously, my preference is the dedicated course, and the reason why I say that, again, you want to make sure that these students are primed that when they go out to work terms or when they go out, when they graduate, they have the knowledge, but they have the in-depth knowledge that is going to become a requirement. Now, all this stuff is great in the classroom, but at the same time, doesn't only end in the classroom, and in fact, what I find is a huge opportunity that isn't necessarily taken advantage of is when you can actually bring students into the mix of where, you know, let's say the actual developers are. So people who have graduated or people who are already working. And that's a huge opportunity for so many different reasons. You know, knowledge sharing, networking to meet contacts for future opportunities. You know, getting that exposure outside of the classroom is fundamentally important and is actually going to become an expectation, like I said, 3 to 5 years when cloud computing really becomes part of a company's strategy on how they go out to market or how they sustain themselves as a company. Now, outside of the classroom, there are various different options that you can help both yourself and students. As part of the academic team here in Canada, we do on-campus events, maybe not specifically for Azure, but you're going to see a lot of those Azure discussions, a lot of those cloud computing discussions coming into Windows Phone events or Windows 8 events. And those ones are really an opportunity to send your students to, because usually those events are done by students for students, which is the beautiful part about it. And they share together how they're using cloud computing and maybe their applications, or maybe they've already developed a game that's in the marketplace and they're using a backend to bring their game experience from the mobile to the desktop, right? Different things like that. I actually work with a student startup in one of the incubators in downtown Toronto, and they're all students, and they're actually using Windows Azure for the backend for their game that's actually surfaced through Facebook. And when I asked them, hey, how did you learn about Windows Azure? What they said to me was, it happened to have been in an on-campus event. It got them interested. They started going to events outside of campus life. And then before you know it, they actually implemented it as the back end of their game. And that's actually what you want to encourage those students to do. Remember, you want to think about them as thought leaders. You don't want to just teach them how to code against a cloud computing platform. You want to get them to think, hey, how can I actually monetize on this? How can I build on this a business, right? And there's a lot, and we do see a lot of student startups doing that, or students who are just playing around that end up seeing that they can be a startup because of what they've learned. So like I mentioned, it starts with on-campus events because obviously those ones are the easiest for the students to attend. But what I do recommend, and I highly encourage both you guys as educators to attend, but also to bring your students along with you, which is actually a nice opportunity as well for you to connect with your students, is to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to this user group event, or I'm going to a local event, you know, near your particular college or university, and say, I'm going, why don't you guys and gals join me. I find that when you do that, there's a lot more want to go. But even let's say you're not attending for your own knowledge, encourage the students to go to user groups especially. There are tons of people that go to these things for none other than networking. But a lot of people have this misconception that because user group events are usually free, you know, and it's community speakers, that the content that they're bringing is not as valuable. But to be honest, it's actually quite valuable, because what they're bringing is their stories and their experiences that they're sharing with the students, that at the end of the day, the students are going to be like, yeah, you know what? I remember this guy was telling me about the particular solution that they implemented in this large enterprise, and it didn't work, right? So they get that exposure up front, as opposed to having to experience it firsthand themselves, which at the end of the day, to their employer, to the future employer, and certainly their co-op employer, that speaks volumes to what these students are bringing, and that's where the thought leadership comes in. On top of the user groups, there's also local events that either we do as Microsoft Canada or some of our partners do, that again, you want to encourage the students to go. A lot of them are free, right? So you remove that barrier, and a good chunk of them are also on the weekend and in evenings, so it doesn't actually interfere with their classroom time. Or you may even want to consider, I know I worked with a professor in a college here in Ontario as well, where they actually said, you know what, this particular lab time is one of these events. And they actually replaced a lab with going to one of these events. And if you attended, then that was actually your passing mark for that lab. Right? So you have tons of opportunities in order to weave it into your curriculum. There is actually a student newsletter as well that if they haven't signed up for, I do recommend doing so, only because, again, we push out a lot of things that are happening, expert advice and all that kind of stuff in those newsletters. At the same time, because even though that one is a specific student one, there's also the MSDN eNews newsletter, which is actually, again, for those professional developers or those developers that are already out in the workforce. And for the same reasons as I said before, it's I think it's important for these students to get exposed to that sooner rather than later, so that they actually see what real life implementations of cloud computing and Windows Azure look like, and they're starting to consume it now so that they can use it later. There's tons of resources online when we think about, let's say they can't necessarily go out to various different events, not a problem. There's lots of online learning opportunities. I've listed a couple of them for you there. Big one that we do, again, as a team here, is the Canadian Developer Connection blog. We keep pushing out all the new stuff that's happening, various different interviews with companies that are using, how they're using the stuff. I do a specific interview series called Canada Does Windows Azure, where I go and I speak to developers from various different companies and ask them, hey, how have you guys used this? What worked? What hasn't worked? Now, as much as that's technically aimed towards developers that are already working at companies, again, there's no reason why that can't be used as a learning opportunity for students to give them that exposure. In fact, I'm actually going to be recording a couple of those interviews with students that are using Windows Azure for their applications. Again, because at the end of the day, students may be students, but students are still developers, right? And they're exploring, they're trying out new things. So it's up to us and to you guys as educators to expose them as much as possible so that they can see what's possible and what the opportunities are. And of course, there's always MSDN, tons and tons of documentation on there. I wouldn't necessarily say that those are learning resources. I would probably say those are more technical resources for when they actually get started. But certainly there's tons of tutorials on there that can in fact get them started from just exploring and go all the way out to full out applications. And you can actually definitely even use that content in your curriculum as well. The other stuff that I was showing you as part of the faculty connection is already content that's sort of been formulated for use in the classroom. But of course, as you know, MSDN is an invaluable source nonetheless. The other twist to this, which again I recommend to you as educators to recommend to your students, is we all know that they're, you know, up and running with their social media. And potentially that actually might be an easier way for them to integrate the content that's coming out on the cloud computing platform, on the Windows Azure platform, into their daily lives. So if they are Twitterers, or I don't even know what the official word for people who do Twitter is, so we'll call them Twitterers, they can follow CDN Azure. They can actually even follow Windows Azure as well. And they're going to continue to get all of these feeds of what's going on in the cloud computing world, what's going on in the Windows Azure world. And they can use that to, again, either expose themselves or just keep up to date with what's going on outside of the classroom. And, I mean, the beauty of it is that the platform continues to change and continues to change frequently. There is no way that you're going to effectively be able to keep up with as much change as there is in your content within the curriculum. So when you look at it from a curriculum perspective, my recommendation is actually to focus on the fundamentals, focus on the getting started, but make sure that your students are armed with, okay, well, what's that next step? Or where can I send my students from here so that they can continue to have that exposure? More importantly though, and here's to me what I think the secret part about all this, is the continued exposure. Don't give them things that they can just go to once and then, you know, they kind of forget about. You want to give them something that's going to continue feeding them that exposure throughout their entire academic life so that they can continue to grow as the platform grows. Don't give them a point in time, hey, this is what cloud computing looks like, you know, circa 2012. They need to continue growing with it. So these are some of the ways to do that. Also, LinkedIn. Interestingly enough, some of the workshops that I do at colleges and universities, I do go into depth into LinkedIn. Not, again, obviously I don't work for LinkedIn, but I'm a firm believer of that networking aspect, and more importantly, that growing aspect. And so when you're pointing your students to resources where, for example, professional developers are hanging out or experts are hanging out, again, you're just exposing them to knowledge that they can continue to consume. The link I have on the screen there for you is actually the URL for the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn. There's actually also a Canadian Technical Students group that maybe Susan can post into the chat window there, and you'll have the URL for, right? But these are invaluable resources where you can actually share with your students, make them aware that they exist so that they can go, and maybe at first they just observe, but then they can actually participate as they're also learning, right? And encourage them to share back. Why is all of that important? At the end of the day, remember when we started this talk and we said, look, companies are looking. They're looking for people who are knowledgeable, but also who have the experience. Well, what a great way to show that you have the experience by actually not only observing, but actually participating and sharing back information into these groups about what you're doing. And what I've found with a lot of developers that I've worked with is actually a lot of the opportunities that have come to them, cloud computing or not, this is not actually specific to cloud computing, a lot of the opportunities came because they were simply there. They were in these avenues, LinkedIn being a perfect one, where they were just doing their thing. They were just sharing. And all of a sudden, because they were showing that they have the experience, they have the knowledge, and more importantly, if they can demonstrate their thought leadership, the opportunities started coming to them, right? Well, what a perfect opportunity for students to say, hey, maybe I haven't even graduated yet, or maybe I'm only in my third year. But if a company sees a talent or value that they can get from employing one of these students, well, then all the better, right? They can actually, you know, the student can be employed and yet work at the same time. And what you've done as an educator is actually connected the two together, connected the student to the opportunity. And, you know, as educators ourselves included, we've now done effectively a service to these students. And it had nothing to actually do with teaching them technical content. It's really teaching them technical content through others, or exposing them to technical content through others. Last but not least, if they're not the Twitter type, they're not the LinkedIn type, they do always have Facebook. Windows Azure does in fact keep a very active Facebook page. Lots of conversations going back and forth. You know, so whatever social media works for them, or whatever social network works for them, that's the way to do it. And it's such a great teaching tool that we don't take enough advantage of, and there's a great opportunity there. So at the end of the day, what does this all come down to? It comes down to obviously some of the resources that I've shared with you here in this particular session that you can use as educators. But it also comes down to the fact that we as Microsoft Canada can help you. We just need to know that you want our help. So by all means, I have all my contact information up there again. Send me an email, or send me a tweet, or let's connect on LinkedIn, and let's work together to see how we can in fact bring Windows Azure into your curriculum, cloud computing into your curriculum, and ultimately see how we can actually get our students, who are the next breed of developers, they're the next generation of developers, architects, and the next generation of thought leaders. Let's bring them into the fold now. And where does that start? It does in fact start in the classroom, and it does in fact start with you.